We're blessed today. We have the junior worship team and others joining for the Easter presentation. And I got to read the bulletin. It is Easter, not Christmas. See, I get confused when I put a suit on. Here you go, Resurrection Sunday right here. And he is risen. He is risen. So with that, we're going to turn it over to them and enjoy the wonderful presentation that they have.
His father had forsaken him. turned his back on his son, despising our sin. All hell seemed to whisper, just forget it, he's dead. Then the father looked down to his son and said, from heaven, the stone was rolled away. And his dead men, the guards, they all stood there in fright as the power of love displayed its might.
Then suddenly a melody filled the air, riding was everywhere.
The words of creation had been longing to hear
the sweet
sound of victory, so loud and clear.
Arise, my love, arise.
Thank you. like Jesus' mission failed. But his sacrifice accomplished victory over sin and hell. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. Jesus is alive. In the grave, God did not leave him, for his body to decay. Raised to life, the grave awaiting Satan's body overcame. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. Jesus is alive. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. Jesus is alive. When the Lord rides out of heaven, mighty angels at his side, they will sound the final trumpet. From the grave we shall
we
mighty angels at his side. They will sound the final trumpet. From the grave we shall
that Jesus' blood has stained you clean. And that's a kind of clean that don't come out. Amen. So let's praise the risen Lord today. We're going to start out a little bit slow. I'm sorry. I know we have this all keyed up here, but here we go. Thank you. it never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Thank you.
Already, every victory is ours. All authority, every victory.
Amen. Jesus overcome.
Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, let's get excited for the Lord today.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. He's risen, right?
Amen.
He's alive. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate it. They did an excellent job with some significant members missing today. But thank God. I just enjoy worshiping, praising God, and singing together and blessing His name and lifting His name up above other things in life. Amen? Lifting His name up above the other stuff in life. How many got other stuff in life? You got some other stuff in life? Yeah? All right. Well, we're going to lift Jesus up above the other stuff, right? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What's up?
Can I have something to say?
Can you have something to say? Yeah. You can. You can have something to say.
First of all, I'd like to say what a great job the little ones did.
Amen.
Your little ones did a fantastic job.
Amen.
You know, I read a scripture here a couple of weeks ago. I should have double-checked it, but I'm pretty sure it's 1 Timothy 1:6, but most of you are familiar with the scripture anyhow. But I've been chewing on this thing. You know, sometimes you meditate on a word, and it gets down in you, and it grabs hold of you. And then eventually it comes bubbling out, you know. But the scripture says, you know, that you got to stir it up a little bit. You got to rekindle the embers and fan the flame of your inner man. Right. And all of us remember where we once were when we first got saved. And we had that joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, everyone's so familiar with John 3:16, but sometimes we forget about Revelation 3:16. You know, the Bible says, be the hot or cold, and don't be lukewarm on me. You know, it's real easy in this day and age to slip into that little lukewarm place. Hey, I'm here to tell you, that is not a condemning word. I'm here to tell you right now. You know, maybe you've been away from church for a while and you're feeling like you're not worthy. That devil's a liar right there in the first place. And I want to remind you about the story of the prodigal son. When he decided to come home to his father, was waiting and looking for him and ran to him to give him a hug. Okay, so I'm telling you right now today, you take one step toward this cross right here, and the Heavenly Father is waiting to embrace you.
Amen, that's right.
With His love, mercy, and grace.
All right.
Okay, He'll take you back in and you're in a heartbeat. Okay, praise His wonderful,
amen,
holy name.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to say more than I should say.
That was good.
You know, but all I'm saying is, hey, the service is over. You know, in that same scripture, they talked about how the elders laid hands on Timothy at his ordination. We have elders here in our church that are willing to lay hands on you. At the end of the service, you come forward and you say, look, you know what? I want my heart to be on fire for God. I want that blaze to be fired up and stirred up once again in me. This is Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah, it is.
Let's get resurrected.
Amen.
And let it start with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Some resurrection life going around here. Amen. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It was I was really blessed by the skit that went on here this morning, and God the Father sitting back there high-fiving Jesus, you know, giving him the high five, and, you know, just get all the religious junk out of the way, you know, and let's really live. You know, oftentimes some of the religious ways and things we feel we have to do things, sometimes that really confines us. And instead of just being real, you know, instead of just being straight up with the Lord and just being real with Him. And that's what resurrection's all about. Amen? Because the rest of the stuff stays in the grave, and what rises up is what the Father calls forth. And that, amen, you know, that in our lives is just pure relationship with Him. There's nothing else gets in the way. And this morning, just let the resurrected life flow through you today. And, you know, in Luke chapter 24, I'm just going to read a little bit. And Luke 24 says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. So this is the story now. After Jesus, you know, lived and did tremendous miracles and lifted hope in people's lives, and then they watched as the rulers of that day came against it, and they decided they were going to shut this thing down because they didn't understand it. How many know that we shut a lot of things of God down in our lives because we don't understand what's going on? Amen. And that is a religious spirit. That is how man feels he is going to control his relationship with God instead of just letting God be God. And so here they shut it. They said, we're going to shut this thing down. We can't let this go on because this goes against our religious system. Here he's coming in and he's just liberating people, and he's not doing the things he's supposed to do. He's healing on the Sabbath. He's doing all of this. He's picking corn on the Sabbath. He's doing all these things, and it just doesn't fit into our religious structure. And so they crucified him, put him on the cross, and his followers and those that loved him watched this. But here they were that morning. It said that they prepared something. They prepared their response to life. They prepared what they could best do themselves for the situation that they were in. Is anybody prepared here today? We prepare our lives for the best we can with what we have in hand for the situation we feel that we're in. And we get all prepared and all ready to go. And so here they were. They were prepared because they watched the Lord being crucified. They watched him put in this tomb. And so they prepared what they had to. They prepared spices and different things because life stinks once in a while. Anybody have some spice prepared for the stink of life once in a while? Anybody ever go through stuff that doesn't smell too good? You wonder if you got something on your shoes? That's life. I mean, if you haven't, then you're really not living. You must be locked in somewhere and you know, hiding up in a house somewhere. You know, if you live life, you're going to get in things that you don't like. And then you prepare yourself to deal with those things that you don't like. And these ladies prepared themselves to deal with a situation that they didn't like. And it says they went that day and they had it all prepared, right? Let's continue reading. Had it all prepared. It says, certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. And it's the same thing in our lives. You know, we prepare the best we can on ourselves, but we come to the situation and we see that God has made a difference. We come to a situation and we see that there has been an interaction in our life that is beyond our own ability. This stone was huge, and it was rolled there because it was meant to protect a rich man that would end up in that tomb. And when rich men were buried there that day, they were buried with a lot of jewels and a lot of riches. And so this was a rich man's tomb. So it was designed so that no one could break in it. Once it was sealed, it was sealed. But as they went, the reason that it was so significant is the soldiers, as we saw in the play here, they were guarding that tomb because those that put them there knew of the story and of what they thought was kind of like a story that he would rise again. And they said, we don't want that nonsense going on here. We don't want his followers coming and stealing his body and keeping this whole thing going here. We want to shut it off right now, you know. And the enemy thought he had everything shut off right then. But as the women came, because they were followers of Jesus, and as all of the enemies of God were trying to keep that tomb the way it was, they both had something in mind. But on that day, God had something in mind. You know, the world has something in mind for you. They have a plan for you. They have a way that they're kind of like putting you in a cattle trough. This is the way we want you to live. This is what we want you to do. This is how we want. You realize that they have it all figured out. All the marketers of this nation, they know there's so many people, and so many people spend an average of so much, and they have it all figured out. They know how to market. They know how to put you right in that cattle chute and get you to live your life the way that they want, and everything goes just the way the world wants. And you know what? That's why they crucified Jesus, because Jesus came against what the world wanted, and he came to bring the good news that the Father wanted. And at that moment, in that tomb, it was both trying to work what they wanted to happen. But what happened was, is God came on the scene. And when they got there, the stone was rolled away. Rolled away. Amen. At least I got somebody on the same. Terry's going to come up here and be my cheerleader. You guys don't wake up. I'm going to loosen Terry and he's going to run around here. The stone was rolled away. And this morning, I'm not going to go there. But I'm telling you, it's very simple, guys. And I'm just looking for revelation here. The stone was rolled away. You know, there comes a time where you can plan all your life. You can do everything the way you think. The world can try to manipulate you the way it wants. But when it comes down to the place, if you go looking for Jesus, you're going to find that there's something supernatural there that changes your life forever. That you know, don't go after it the same old way. Don't go after it the way the world tells you to go. Don't go after it the way you think you ought to go. Just go and just say, Lord, I want it your way. And when you go there, you realize that he removes that thing that keeps you from being in communion with him and in relationship with him, and he sets your life free. And he can do it. Absolutely, he can do it. And we think, you know, that's a big stone. And you know, we saw him crucified. They saw that. You know, that was the testimony. They went around after this saying, look, we saw this with our physical eyes. He was killed. He was put in that tomb. He was dead. But then we also went and saw that the stone was rolled away. You realize the scripture, if we kept reading, it says he appeared to his disciples, and he appeared to over 500 one time in a town. He came just walking in his bodily form, just walking and saying, here I am. I'm alive. I'm risen. And the New Testament began by a group of people that saw that and said, you know what? He's alive. You know, he's what was prophesied about. He's what Joel said. I'm telling you, he's alive. And they began to go out through all of the area, and just that excitement and that testimony. We sang that song, the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. And everybody started getting excited because, you know what? This was something that changed everything. Because when the supernatural power of God affects your life, everything changes. You know, Corinthians, Paul wrote, he said, the natural mind cannot even comprehend the things of God. When they first went to that tomb, they went in their natural mind. They knew that they had to come, and they wanted just to honor the one that they've loved. And they walked there, but all of a sudden now, something changed. Something supernatural happened that couldn't happen in anyone else's own strength. God comes through, rolls a stone away. Jesus is risen from the dead. And it makes everything different. It's no longer the same anymore. Because when you come into agreement, or you come into understanding of the resurrection of the Lord, when you come face to face with the risen Lord, everything changes. It's no longer just about you. It's no longer just what you can muster up in your natural. That now all of a sudden there's a supernatural interaction with your life that takes you beyond what you can do yourself. And that to me is what celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is all about. It's about him taking me beyond where I could ever take myself. It's about, you know what, I have faults in my life like everybody else has faults in my life. And in my natural, I say, Lord, I don't know how. I don't even know why you even love me. I don't even know why you've ever called me. I don't know why, how I could ever do anything for you. But God did call me. But God did change my life and touch my life. But God is in the process. Amen? And it's the but of God involved in my life that makes everything different. I don't mean this but, guys. Some of you are looking at me like, what are you doing with that? But anyway, it is God's interaction in my life. Hey, it worked for Moses. Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. God says, okay, I'm going to put you in the rock over here. I'm going to cover you. You can see me as I pass by. You can see my backside. But you're not going to see my face. Let me tell you what, the backside of God is more, was more than enough for Moses. Amen? Amen? So, yeah, the butt of God changes my life. Amen? Every part of him, every part of him will change my life. God is the changer. He's the changer. And we have to be a people that go beyond walking out what we think we need to do religiously to serve God, to a people who just live in response to a God that is alive and a God that has supernaturally touched and changed our lives. You know, oftentimes I talk to a lot of different people about their walk with Christ, trying to live for God, but they keep falling or they do this or they do that. But they're always trying to live for God. And oftentimes I see in the strength, you know, there's people, they'll do everything they can just trying to live what they feel is right by God. And there's so many people that fall short of that. That's why the Lord didn't plan it that way. The Lord didn't plan it that we have to somehow strain in our life to live a certain way. He planned it in a way that if we'll just simply come to him just as we are, that he accepts us, that he loves us, and that we become his. And as we continue to surrender to him, our life is changed. But it's changed because we've been touched by something beyond ourselves. It's changed because the supernatural power of God comes in and begins to transform me, begins to change me from the inside out. It's not me that initiates it. It's not me that makes it happen. It's him that makes it happen. And as I respond to him, as he knocks on the door of my heart and I open the door, he comes in. And he says that not only does he come in, he and the Father come in. And they begin to sit and dine with me. In other words, they begin to interact with me in my life. They begin to have communion with me. They begin to allow me to be in their presence. And little by little, my life has been transformed. But it's coming into the realization that it's a supernatural touch of God. It's not my ability. My natural mind cannot comprehend. I cannot sit and figure out the plan. Okay, this is what I'm going to do for God. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to grab a hold of it this way. That'll never work. What I've got to do is what the Holy Spirit's doing in our hearts right now, as he begins to knock on that heart, I just have to believe. I just have to say, yes, Lord. I have to say, Lord, help me. You know, there was a man one time that came that his, I believe it was a son that was sick, and he comes to the Lord, and the Lord says, well, he can be healed if he just believe. And he said, Lord, he said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. You know, it's the belief, Lord, I believe that put him in the place where he could stand before God. And then he said, God, you know, I can't, that's as far as I can even take it. Lord, help me in my unbelief. And that's all it takes, is just coming before the Lord and being open with him and allowing our weakness to be put in his hand. And the Bible even says, when we're weak, we become strong. Because when we're weak and we understand that weakness, and we allow God to begin to work in our lives, now he can take that and he can change us and make us into what we desire to be. Because we all desire to be what God desires us to be. You know, I mentioned that to somebody. I said, no, I don't. Well, no, you do. You do desire that. Secretly, deep down in your heart, you desire, you know, to be what you know God wants you to be. But you cover it up because you feel you can't. But what the message is about today is you don't have to. He did. He that knew no sin became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. We don't have to clean our life up to be accepted by God. Jesus was perfect in every way. Jesus was totally clean. All of the sin of the world, when it was hung on him, did not pollute him to the point where he was no longer holy. He took all of the sin and remained holy and died as a holy sacrifice, totally acceptable to the Father to pay the price of your sin and my sin. And as we come to him, the Bible says that the veil is taken away. And as we behold him, then we get transformed and we become like him and who he is. So today we're excited and we are celebrating the day that the supernatural power of God took over in our lives. Anybody, can you remember that day? Anybody, can you agree with me today that there's a supernatural power of God that has taken over your life? That it goes beyond you? That God is at work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure? That just as those ladies walked up and found, they walked up in a way to do what they knew was right to do, even in their weakness, even in their sorrow, and they found that something happened here that went beyond their ability, that God was at work in their lives. And what a celebration it was. What a celebration it was. He's alive today. Amen? We sang those songs. He's alive. And he's alive, and his life has now affected us. I was reading in 1 Corinthians where Paul said, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have of all men the most pitiful. But now Christ is risen. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. But now Christ has risen from the dead. You see, we can tell each other sob stories of sad things that happen to us, disappointments in our lives. And if that's all we have, we're the most pitiful. But Christ is risen today from the dead. We have a new life available to us. Amen? We have hope. We have joy. We have something to look forward to. He's risen from the dead today. And because of that, you and I have a hope that goes beyond our natural means and beyond our own ability to do anything about it. Amen? But they found the stone was rolled away. I'm just going to read a little bit more. We'll be done soon. And they found that the stone was rolled away from the tomb, verse 2 of chapter 24 of Luke. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. They got some holy revelation, right? Here they were. They were perplexed. They were beside themselves. They didn't know what to do. They were perplexed. But then it said two men in shining robes stood beside them. The revelation of God. You know, we get to a place where we're faced with things, but you know what? When revelation comes, when the reality of the truth of the gospel comes to us, all of a sudden, everything changes, right? And then he said to them, verse 5, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but is risen. He says, remember how he had spoken to you when he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day, rise again. And then it says, as these ladies went, they went to the disciples, to those that were closest to Jesus, and said, look, he's alive. And they said they thought it was just some kind of a story. Said that they didn't believe him. right? They didn't believe him. And so sometimes it's not just enough to hear. It takes revelation for it to hit our lives, and so that we can now allow it to affect us, and our life is changed. Revelation of God. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, for your fresh revelation today. Lord, I pray, God, that this truth, that Jesus is alive, has risen from the dead, and that because of that, our lives can be changed, that we too can live a new life. Lord, I pray for revelation to come to us right now. Lord, I pray that no matter where we're at in life, no matter where our preparations have taken us, where this world's ways have taken us, Lord, it doesn't matter all of that. What matters, Lord, is where are we today in terms of revelation of who you are and of what you're doing in our lives. Lord, I ask for fresh revelation to come to us today, that the truth and the reality that Jesus is alive and what that means to us and how that affects our lives, Lord, I pray for freshness of that. Holy Spirit, I pray that as Jesus said that you're going to come and make all of these things known to us, Lord, I ask that you would do this. I ask that you'd stir up our hearts. I ask for that fresh revelation of heaven. Lord, that we'd be a people that would live and walk in the truth of who you are, and that you are now alive, and that you are alive in our lives especially. We thank you for that, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and honor today, Lord. We worship you, God. We worship the living God, the God that's no longer in the tomb. We worship you, Jesus, one that was worthy to take on the sin, my sin and everyone else's sin in this room and the rest of the world. And you took it upon you and you died for it. But it was not able to keep you in the grave. And today, Lord, with many other Christians around the world, we're worshiping you and celebrating the day that truth became a reality on the face of this planet. That sin could not hold you in the ground. That you rose again from the dead. And that you live forevermore. We thank you for that, Lord. We worship you and we praise you, Lord. We lift your name up above all other names, above all other situations in our lives. We thank you for your intervention, Lord. We thank you for rolling away the stone in our lives and bringing the reality of the risen Savior into our lives. We give you praise today. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's worship God. Let's give him a great hand of applause. Thank you, Lord. Just to make it clear, I'm not asking for an applause about what was said. I'm asking just to give him praise today. That's what I'm asking about. You know, you don't need to clap for me or whatever or for what has been said. But I'm telling you what, Jesus deserves. I mean, we saw the high five going on up here. But I'm telling you what, he deserves a hoot and a howl and a scream and an excitement. I'm telling you, Jesus is alive today. And what he has done for your life and my life, it goes beyond what words could ever say. So let's come on. Let's just give him a great big hallelujah and a praise. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. You are worthy of all praise, oh God. You are worthy. You alone are worthy, Lord. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you, God. You are awesome, Lord. You are awesome, Lord. You are awesome. We thank you, Lord. Lord, it goes beyond what our minds could even comprehend what you have done. And Lord, for all of eternity, Lord, we'd be just looking at you and saying, wow, what, you know, as revelation just unrolls of how awesome and what he has done. And every, you know, we just see just a tiny, tiny, tiny glimpse of the awesomeness of this great salvation that we have. And for all eternity, it's the levels and the layers are going to be peeled back, and we're just going to see just how awesome, just, you know, how incredible what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. And today, you know, as Brother Terry was saying, you know, if you've been away from God, don't be ashamed. Lift up your head and get back to Him. That's all it takes. You know, I've been there before, and many of others have been there before. We're away from God. But, you know, sometimes you just wake up and realize, you know what, I just got to get back to Him. And that's all it takes. There's not a whole lot to it. It's just a matter of saying, Lord, I just want to come back to You. I want to serve You. I want to live for You. And that's all there is to it. And you don't need to do it in front of a church. You don't need to do it, you know, any particular way. You just need to do it. One way or the other. I don't care if you go home and do it in the, you know, locked in your own bedroom. Just do it. Because that's where the life is found. That's where the joy of life is found. That's where the peace is found. Without Him, there is no peace. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for this day. We just thank You for each and every one that has come out. We just thank You, Lord, that we do have a Savior that's worth hooting and howling and shouting about. That we do have a God that is alive and that is worthy to be praised, Lord. We thank You today that because of the blood of Jesus, we can be bold in our approach to You. We can just come as we are. We can come before You, Lord. We honor You as God. And we don't by any means bring You down to our level. But Lord, we just come and just a real release of thanksgiving and expression to You, Lord, just as we are. We thank You, Lord, that we can do this because the blood of Jesus has gone before us and has made a way for us to be where He is also. So we thank You for that today. Lord, I ask Your blessing upon each and every family represented here today. Lord, I pray that in these times that are hard with economics, times, Lord, that are hard with the way that the world has gone, Lord, I just thank You, Lord. Your word even says where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. You even told and explained that, you know, when we see the end of times coming, that look up because our redemption draws nigh. Father, I thank You that You draw nigh to us, Lord. Draw nigh to every family in this place, Lord. Lord, I pray that Lord, that the reality of Your presence would be felt in each and every home, Lord. I pray that there'd be relationship with You that goes deeper than it ever has gone before. I pray, Lord, that the relationship with family members, with sons and daughters and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we could draw close to You and close to each other. I pray Your blessing in every way upon every family, Lord. We thank You, God, that, Lord, Your word, Lord, is so clear that we and our household shall be saved. I pray, Father, for those that may be in households that aren't saved, Lord. Lord, it's not a go-get-em attitude, but, Lord, it's a God, have mercy upon them. Bless them. Bring them to a place of their eyes are open and they know You. We thank You for it, Lord. We thank You for such a great salvation. Lord, we do also pray for our nation and our country at this time. Father, I pray, Lord, for revelation to come. I pray that we as the church, Lord, connected with all the other churches that believe in You, would come alive today. That we begin to live and walk in a way, God, that is a real example of who You are, that loves the lost, Lord, and loves You. Lord, I thank You for that. Lord, bless our nation, I pray. Bring us back to a place, Lord, that You, Lord, are on the throne. We thank You for it. We bless Your name above every name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Yeah, Robert just mentioned we are leaving on Tuesday. Tammy and I and Sherry will be going to the Philippines for 3 weeks. And Robert asked if we would like prayer. Sure. We would like prayer. So if those would like to pray for us and send us out, that'd be a good thing. This is the time. Come on, Robert, since you came up with a great idea. Sherry, could you come over? Tammy? And anybody that feels like they want to come and pray, certainly the elders and others. It was your idea.
It was my idea. It was God's idea.
It was God's. That's all right. Okay, I'll take that. Amen. Amen.